We have one more case this morning. Is this you, counsel?
Yes, Your Honor.
A24-0261, Ifra Khalif, petitioner respondent versus Sharmaki. I might be mispronouncing that.
Sharmaki
Mohammed, appellant. In this case, the respondent did not file a brief and is not then here for oral argument as a result. So we have just one oral argument this morning, and that will be from counsel for appellant. So that means that you will have 15 minutes, counsel, for your argument, and obviously nothing to rebut. The podium goes up and down, and when you start your argument, if you please state your name and the party you represent for the record. Whenever you are ready and adjusted, we are ready for you.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Amber Johnson. I represent Sharmaki Mohammed, the appellant in this matter. This case is about the district court making a mistake by introducing or allowing admission of Exhibit 5 at the order of protection hearing. Exhibit 5 was a medical record of the petitioner, and it was introduced through the petitioner. It was not introduced properly and lacked foundation. The respondent's counsel did object to admission of the medical record at the time that it was submitted. The court overruled that objection and did allow admission. Now, these medical records should have been required to meet the foundational requirement of a business record, which it did not. Ms. Khalif admittedly could not read or write English. She testified as part of the foundation that she had assistance in printing out this information from her MyChart. And while she was being asked about the information on cross-examination, she did not even recognize what it was and asked Mr. Mohammed's attorney to tell her what it is. Can you please explain it to me? Business record requires, business exception to the hearsay rule requires that there's either a witness who is the custodian of records to present foundation, which Ms. Khalif is not, or another qualified witness to testify that the records were either made, were four things, made by a person with personal knowledge of the matters recorded and a business duty to report accurately the information transmitted by the person with such knowledge, made at or near the time of the recorded event, kept in the course of regularly conducted business activity, and made part of the regular practice of the business activity.
So let's, the question is not whether these are in fact the records she pulled down from my chart, sort of an authenticity issue. The question is whether they contain statements by a declarant, out of court statements that are offered for the matter asserted.
Correct.
That are hearsay. And then the question is, are they business records and satisfy those foundational requirements to show that when you satisfy those basically establish that those are probably reliable statements. What statements in the medical records are you arguing should not have been admitted?
So in the court's decision, which was given orally on the record, the court specifically stated that he did not find the petitioner particularly credible and did not find the respondent credible. So it was kind of a tie. But the one thing that put it over was the medical records. And he did indicate what he looked at in the medical records that led him to believe that the petitioner had established that there was some sort of harm as a result of the incident. These indications, there are four things. Two of them were indications, which were, the first one was an indication of neck pain, choking, traumatic injury. Now, the second indication that he referred to was right shoulder pain status post-assault. Indication, first of all, there was no testimony as to what indication even meant during this order of protection hearing. The judge was relying on his own knowledge of what he thought indication meant, and indication is when someone tells the doctor what's going on with them. It's from the patient trying to explain what's going on so that the doctor can treat them.
So that gets me to my question about this. When it's talking about the indications, because you acknowledge that's what indications mean. They're basically, why are you here? What are you reporting? And then they took action, for testing, the scan or whatever, based on that. But at the hearing, this is an order for protection hearing, and the objection to the medical records was, and I quote, "Your Honor, I do object. Other than the hearsay exception for some of the statements that might be in a summary that Ms. Khalif made, there is not proper foundation for the other information in this document." In other words, the exception there was not an objection made to her statements reflected in the medical records. Here would be the argument if I were, in that chair, that the district court looked at the medical records and the fact that she made these claims of choking and of pain as a result that same night, and that and the police report that was filed, or that from the police inquiry that same night, tipped the balance of credibility to show on this night her testimony is credible. And what's the harm then? I mean, if there was no objection to of entry, at least of these records, if there was no objection even to her own statements to the medical professionals at the trial court, and the district court then relied on her statements, written, granted, as indications, but that's what it means. It seems like the district, what's the problem here? Besides, I understand the rest of your argument when it looked at, movement made the, I don't remember what that, basically invalidated the test, degraded, yeah. Yes. And one other thing, like the patent vessels or blood vessels or something.
Yes.
So
the argument of why the court still should not have found that there was harm based on those indications is that the petitioner testified to being choked by the respondent, to being assaulted in other ways by the respondent, and to there were other allegations. But the judge specifically said that he did not find her testimony credible.
Well, generally, I think he excluded all of the other sort of complaints of conduct, but he looked at this incident, right? And then said this tips the balance, as I read it, relative to what happened this night. He found the your client's account not credible of what happened that night, and said that these medical records and the police report at the end, when he revisited it upon questioning, made her account about this night credible.
On the onset of giving his decision orally, the court limited the decision to the events of May 16, 2023, and said there's not support for anything else. And then he specifically went into that he did not find the petitioner particularly credible. She was evading questions. He believed that it's very possible, based on the evidence before him, that she created a false police report and perhaps...
Not about this police report.
Not
about
this one,
previous
but had
a
future.
A future, sorry. Subsequent? Okay.
Subsequent.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I will also point out that what was presented to the doctor was not the same as was presented in court. In court, she said that she had been strangled by my client, and also that she had been hurt in the kidney area, which is not what she told the doctors. The doctors, she told neck and shoulder. And to find that her credibility is somehow greater the night of an incident or the following day of an incident when she goes to seek medical help, but that it's not credible when she's under oath testifying under cross-examination, the two just don't. They don't make sense with one another. If the court doesn't find her particularly credible about what happened on May 16th, then the court should not find her credible simply because she told the doctor that her neck hurt. There's no notation in the medical records that say that there is anything wrong with her neck, just that she told them that it hurt. And so the weight of that statement should be no greater than the weight of the statement that the judge considered when he was watching her testify in front of him and being subject to cross-examination. So the credibility determination should carry with her claims, especially if they're the exact same claims. And so therefore, I would say under the indications, at least, that the judge notes, that the judge's credibility determination should follow. And just because someone calls the police doesn't mean that anything criminal happened. I would note that Mr. Muhammad also called the police that night. And just because someone goes to a doctor complaining of some sort of injury doesn't mean that they're actually injured. It just means that they went to the doctor and told them they were injured. So with the other two, I don't know if the court wants me to get into the blood vessels and the...
Whatever you like. It's your time.
But mm-hmm.
Well, I have a slightly different question, counsel, while you're looking at that, the first point, whether she sustained any injury that evening and whether the medical records influenced it. So say we agree with you and the district court abused its discretion in admitting and relying on the medical records, the MyChart entry. The district court was asked about that and a motion to reconsider the court's ruling, and the district court referred to the police records, which also involved at least a brief check by medics, I believe, of the petitioner, the respondent here, and also determined, at least the notation in the police report is also of injury that evening. So on that grounds, wouldn't we affirm because the record as a whole still supports the district court's determination of injury?
Your Honor, no, because I don't think that it was determined by the officer that whether or not any harm resulted from the allegations of the petitioner. And I would point out that the respondent was never charged with a crime in this case.
Yeah, we're not talking about a crime. We're talking about the basis for the order of protection, right?
Right.
Okay, and the police report said that there were visible, I'm quoting it, visible signs of injury on her right hip as well as a small red area that appeared to be bruising and several scratch marks. Now, I appreciate that all of these are different reports of injury, but they're reports of injury, and that is what the district court found in support of its decision to grant an OFP.
I would go back to the credibility determination that the court...
And that's a reasonable analysis, counsel. I just want you to hear my take on it so you can respond.
Yes.
Your analysis of credibility is certainly appropriate, and a different district court judge might have decided this case entirely differently. But on review, with the abuse of discretion standard of review and reviewing the record as a whole, I mean, wouldn't we nonetheless get to an affirmance? And I'm sure I'm wrong, and you can let me know why I'm wrong.
I think there's a disconnect. Whether or not harm is established to a specific person does not meet the requirements of whether or not an order of protection should be granted, because that would require that the harm that was noted in the police report can be attributed to the actions of the respondent. And that's not necessarily what happened here. They simply noted that there was some sort of like redness and some scrapes, but that's where the credibility determination comes in, not only from the district court, but for what it is relevant that Mr. Muhammad was not charged with the crime is that there was a county attorney that determined that there wasn't probable cause in this case to charge him with a crime. And that is a lesser standard than what the district court had to determine of whether or not by a preponderance of the evidence there was the petitioner established that the respondent had committed a domestic abuse on her. So I understand that there are facts, but there's not a connection to my client with those facts if you take into consideration the determination of the district court as to who was credible and finding that neither were credible.
Well, what the district court found relative to credibility, with respect to the petitioner, the respondent here, the court finds her not particularly credible. Her answers were evasive, although quite frankly, given a language barrier involved, it is very, the court struggles with, had additional struggle with credibility determinations based on witnesses' evasiveness or lack thereof. So it had some trouble. And then, you know, finds that respondent's version of events, appellant here, difficult to accept. And then says, finds the evidence fairly balanced of the testimony of the petitioner and the testimony of respondent. Now let's look at medical records, and later the district court referred to the police report. So you have, I think you might be overstating somewhat that everything the court found, that whatever her account was just not credible. And then the only thing that's arguably found, could even arguably be found later, is physical harm, and that there's this big disconnect. I mean, to me, it seems like the district court is looking at these things, I'm going over slightly, but you can answer. Looked at the other evidence, found physical harm, or at least her, that she reported that physical harm, finds that credible and attributes her, gives, determines that her, implicitly determines her account of what happened to be the credible one that night.
I will still say that I think that's a bridge too far, because okay, the respondent, if neither of them were particularly credible, and the court is to extend this idea that the petitioner was maybe more credible on this night because she had a red mark on her, the respondent said that the petitioner attacked him and that he had to wrestle the knife away from her and fled. Without his phone or shoes. And so his story, I mean, the court doesn't say one is more or less credible. They're just both not very credible. So to give more weight to her just simply because there's a evidence that she was maybe harmed in the course of this incident, I don't think gives more weight to her statement that night over his statement that night to the police, because he also did talk to the police that night, and his statement is in the police report.
Great.
Thank you. I believe I'm out of time, unless there's any more questions.
I don't think so. Thank you very much. Thanks for coming to argue today and for your briefing. We appreciate it. The case is submitted. We'll have a decision out in a statutory time period.
Thank you.
And with that, we are adjourned.